coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm set on the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, word hearing.
This is the continuation of the message, How to Take Possession of What Belongs to You.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He's confident of that. He's assured of that knowledge. And then they go to the next one. He's coming again. I know he's coming again. That's the future. They'll stake their lives on that. Jesus will surely come back. All right. Between the past and the future is the present. So what is he doing now? What about today? What does Jesus mean to me today? Glory to God. See, our communication locates us. Praise the Lord. Our communication locates us. You know, what was in the past and then in the future, and we live out today. Now, here's another thought. That may not be so much problem for many of you here, really. But here's another thought. How simply we can be affected by semantics. Okay, a lot of times we say the glory of God is upon us, all right? The glory of the Lord is upon me. The glory of the Lord is upon you. And so we are carried away by that thought where we try to imagine that the glory of God surrounds us, and with the hope that there's some light that somebody sees or something sees, or maybe spirits see or whatever it is. So we are surrounded by this glory upon us. Okay? And because we do not see that glory, we are tempted to think might not be real after all. Are you still there? Okay, the glory of God is upon me. What does that mean? These are spiritual terminologies. When you say the glory of God is upon you, what do you mean? What are you saying? We might all mean different things when we say that. And what we mean is actually all we get. That's all you get. You can't get more than what you mean. You can't get more than what you know. So when you say the glory of God is upon me, what do you mean? The glory of God is upon you. Is upon. Do you mean on your head? Don't look at me like that now. When you say, how many of you ever said the glory of God was upon you? Yeah. We even have a song we sing like that. Okay. So, the glory of God you say is upon you. What do you mean that the glory of God is upon you? Where is it? And we even do like this. So it's upon my head. Is the glory of God on your head? Talk to me. The glory of God is only upon you as to say He's bestowed His grace upon your life. But if you're talking about the excellencies, the perfections, the virtues of God, they are not on your head. They are in your spirit. So the glory of God is actually in your spirit. The glory of God is in your spirit. The glory of God refers to His beauties, His excellencies, His perfections, His virtues. These are in your spirit. Can you believe this? Can you accept this? If you can accept this, you'll be amazed how it'll work for you. It's working for many already. Say this, I don't believe in failure.
I don't believe in failure.
Is anybody here, you believe in failure? If you believe in failure, you're in the wrong place, because we will make you succeed, and that may be against what you believe. Are you hearing me? If you don't want to be a success in life, you better not come here. Don't stay here for too long, because we will make you succeed, and that may be trouble for you. Sure. Yeah. You can't listen to this for long enough without it transforming and transfiguring your life. It's not possible. No. It's not possible. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. It'll rub off on you. Hallelujah. Sure. You'd be a success even if you shut your eyes.
Hey, hey.
Sure. Just keep listening. Sooner or later, it'll change your talk. And something about the life of faith. Did you notice that definition of faith? The confident assurance that what we hope for is there. Did you hear that? It says giving substance to what we hope for. So, faith is calling real what you haven't seen as of yet. You give it substance. You act as though it is there. And that's why others think you're stupid. Because you're acting as though something that they can't see is there. But that's what faith is all about. That's what faith is. Faith is not believing. Faith and believing are two different things. The Bible says demons believe, and they so believe that they tremble. Are you hearing me? So you can believe. It's like, look at this. Faith, you got to give substance to your faith. In other words, you've got to voice your faith. That's where it begins. And you got to act your faith. You see, you voice your faith, you act your faith. Because if you can't voice your faith, you cannot act your faith. Your life will go in the way of your mouth. All right, turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 10 for a moment. You there? Romans chapter 10. Have you seen it? Glory to God. You see, faith is a law. Faith is a law. The Bible says that the law of Moses was given as the schoolmaster And that's Old King James translation. It actually means school guide. Doesn't mean the school teacher. It means a school guide, meaning one who took the children to school, not one who actually taught the children. Okay? It was a school guide. So, it says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. All right? Talking about those who were under the law. Then it says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now that faith has come. Now, the kind of faith that is given to us, communicated to us in the New Testament, is different from the kind of faith that was back in the Old Testament. Now, you say, what's the difference? Oh, very simple. The faith in the Old Testament was more of what you call trust. It was trust. And that's why trust is synonymous with faith. Trust. They trusted God. They trusted His character. They trusted what He said and followed what He said. Trust. So Abraham's called a father of faith because he trusted God. He trusted God's character. He trusted God's declarations, God's word. He trusted. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He trusted. Over in the New Testament, the difference is faith is not the version of trust that you have in the Old Testament. It is a law of what we call the mirror principle. Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org for an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Dudu from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life? And who is in the book of life? The Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love Old Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love Old Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did. Because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This is the continuation of the message, how to take possession of what belongs to you.
Hallelujah. There's a beautiful term in the Living Bible. That's another version, okay? The Living Bible that's used in expressing a thought when you study in the book of James chapter number 1 and verse 25. And the expression is so beautiful. He says, he calls the Word of God, the Word of God, which in the King James is called God's perfect law of liberty. The Living Bible puts it this way, God's law for free men. God's law for free men. Some others say God's law that makes men free. They're wrong. You see it? They're looking at it from two different sides. God's law that makes men free. You see that? And that helps you understand the mentality of the communicators. God's law of liberty. Some view it as God's law that makes men free. That is the thinking from the Old Testament idea of faith. God's law that makes men free. So they are freedom conscious. They need deliverance for one thing or the other. You know, their business needs deliverance. You see it? Their finances requires deliverance. They need deliverance. Their family needs deliverance. And this deliverance has to go on from time to time, you know. So, always having demons cast out of them periodically. You see that? So, the word of God is for their deliverance. Okay? But then you have this other group that sees it differently. Like the declaration you have in the Living Bible. God's law for free men. That is the real one. That is correct. You see, how do we know when we study the Bible? How do we know what is right? Oh, very simple. Very simple. Very simple. What you need is the knowledge of the gospel. The understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's put it simply. You still here? You sure? Good. Jesus came to save the lost. He came to give life to the dead, spiritually dead. He came to bring us to God. He came to make the sinners righteous. Question. Did he accomplish his aim? Did he accomplish? That is the question. Did he accomplish it? Or is he still doing it? That's the question. Did he accomplish it? Is he still at it? What does the Bible say? Tell us, where is Jesus? What is he doing? That's what will tell you whether or not he thinks he is still at work trying to complete what he started, or he thinks he's finished. Now, we all know what the Bible says, that he ascended into heaven, right? Okay. Then it says, seated at the right hand of God. The Bible says he is seated. How could he be seated if it's not true? He is seated. He has downed his tools. He is seated. That means he thinks he has finished. Jesus thinks he has finished. He thinks so. Then, remember, before he ascended, after the resurrection, when he appeared to his disciples, he didn't say, praise God, praise God. I'm happy for what we have done so far. We are still trying to finish up. What did he say? All hail. He asked them to hail. How do you hail someone? What they did to Jesus when he showed up. He had done it. He didn't say quiet, 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 quiet. Things are still very hard. Don't let the devil hear us. That's not what he said. He said, cheer up, I have overcome the world. I have overcome. He never had a problem with Satan until he came for us. We were the ones that had a problem with Satan. We were the ones that needed the victory over Satan. So his victory over Satan was for us. He didn't do it for himself. So if you are trying to overcome Satan in your life, you are wrong. So this idea of I know I'm going to overcome. No. The only life of overcoming that the Bible refers to when it says he that overcometh is what we call in the fight of faith. The fight of faith. Putting your faith to work. Holding that which belongs to you. Don't give it up. Don't let Satan rob you of your joy, of your victory, of your success, of your prosperity. Don't let the devil rob you of your potentialities. I made up my mind. I will be all that God chose me to be. Nothing will stop it. You know, some people are afraid. They can't believe what they ought to believe because they're afraid. Like somebody bought a new car. And when he bought the new car, this is a real story. He bought a new car. And then he brought out some large metals, like an axe and some other things, and started denting the car. He said, if my neighbors see that it is a new one. He actually did this and dented the car. No, that's how terrible people get. Don't let them know you are successful, because if they know you're successful, they'll come after you. Some are afraid of remote control from the village. And it works. It really works against them. Of course it does. Now, there are people who went, they just, all they did was to go home for a marriage ceremony or someone's funeral, and since that time, they have been on a funeral procession. Since then, they've been sick. A fellow has been in America for 20 years, and then a close colleague had a problem in Nigeria. And so he decided to fly down briefly. He's not been in Nigeria for 14 years. So he flies down briefly, just so he could pay his last respects. He has been on that last respect for the last 5 years now. Because they caught him. Tied him down. I'll never forget my first experience casting out devils. And this young guy, when I cast the devils out of him, I expected him to now get up, since he is now supposed to be fine. And he cried out. He couldn't get up. He said, they've tied my legs. Nobody saw the strings or the ropes with which they tied him. But he cried, they've tied my legs. He couldn't get up. How did he know they tied his legs? He didn't see the ropes, but he felt it. He couldn't move. I said, stand up. You're free now. They tied my legs. Imagine if we didn't know better. Then he'd be lame all his life. Now I put my hands on his limbs and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command the bonds to break. Loose him and let him go. And he sprang up. Free. That's the power in the name of Jesus. Now imagine if we said, they tied your legs. Hey, they tied your legs. Hey. Hey. nothing would happen. Now you have people that keep doing like this. They enter a new office. That will not work. I assure you, he says, it's the sign of the cross. It's the sign of the cross. Did Jesus say, with the sign of the cross, thou shalt cast out devils? So where did you come up with the sign of the cross? He came off of that cross. Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you. Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Kumba, Loveld Auditorium, behind Regal Hotel, Bew Road, Kumba. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m., Wednesdays for Bible study, 5:30 p.m., and Fridays for prayer meetings, 5:30 p.m. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call 6830-12364 or 6506-694-80 or send an email to radiotransmissions@level360.com.